Good afternoon. Thank you very much for joining us. Today is sponsored by my esteemed in-laws, and that's Mr. and Mrs. Morton Zemel. Of course, we know that it's the birthday on the yahrzeit of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the Zion Adar of Tafshin Pei Gimel. And it's also sponsored by my in-laws in honor of the yahrzeit, in memory of the yahrzeit of my mother-in-law's grandmothers, Aleihem HaShalom, Mrs. Zemel's grandmothers, was your tzeitzer this week, Gitzel Bas Yechiel Michal, Zichron Livracha, and Kayla Chaya Bas David HaKohen. Also, in honor of my wife Panina's birthday and the auspicious anniversary of my son and daughter-in-law, Shlomo Zalman and Ariel Hai. And today, again, is February 28th, Zion Adar. And we have been talking about otherworldly topics, about Olam Haba. Before we continue, we really have to remind ourselves, we're not learning about how it's going to be in Olam Haba. That is not the center of our attention. And the famous Rambam, I will quote to you now, I'm reading from the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka, in the Mishnah Torah, in Hilchos Melachim, and that's going to be, it's in Perek Yud Beis Halacha Beis, the Alkal Panim, Ein Sidur Havayas Devarim Elu, Velo Diktukehen Iker Bedas. Just before we start talking about Olam Haba, the Rambam says, remember that how it's going to be, the order of events, and how things will unfold, and their details, it is not an Iker, it's not a main focus in Das, in the religion of the Torah, Bedas, in the observance of Torah. A person should really not be delving too much into these Agadata, Gemaras, and Midrashim about how the Chazal tell us it's going to be in the future. And a person should not spend a long time in these Midrashos, the Midrashim Ha'amurim that are said in these topics, things like them. He should not make them, place them as a mainstay of his focus. Or learning. Because they do not bring to Avat Hashem, to Yiras Hashem, to fearing Hashem, and to loving Hashem. So let's just clarify. We're not focusing on how it's going to be in Olam Haba. We are centering our attention on how we should view our chelik in Olam Haba. Last time we talked about Mashiach, and we're going to talk about the afterlife today. And this is called HaBitochon HaShmini, the eighth Bitochon. And obviously, it is very significant because it's enumerated in the items in which we're supposed to trust Hashem regarding. We have to trust in Hashem about these topics. So the eighth Bitochon, Al Inyan Olam Haba, has to do with the matter of the world to come. Now, it becomes clear later in the paragraph that the Aruch HaTzadikim is talking about the afterlife, Gan Eden, after the 120 years that a person passes on. We, of course, do know that there's a different Olam Haba connotation, and that's this world, the face of this earth in the future. That's also called Olam, this world, Haba. That's to come in the future. But we're not talking about that today, as it becomes clear. What bitachon does a person need to have about Olam Haba? What is it my business? I stay here, hopefully, a very long time, get a lot accomplished, lots of Torah, mitzvot, chesed, and then eventually after I've done what I need to, the Ribbono Shel Olam takes the neshama back. But why do I need to have bitachon about that? What does it have to do with my train of thought and my trusting in Hashem and my insurance that everything is going to be okay about Olam Haba? It's going to be a little while till the Aruch HaTzadikim gets to it. So let's just right away explain what's going on. A person might be worried. A person might be concerned. Maybe I'm not going to have Gan Eden. Maybe I'm not going to have Olam Haba. I will not experience it. That is why it is in the Shar HaSimcha. It's about Bitachon. Because the Aruch HaTzadikim is going to tell us, I'm going to read it now and then read it again when we get to it, Amir Tashem, the Olam Haba, and regarding the world to come, which is the afterlife, Asher Hu Sof Kol Adam, which is the end of every single person, Yosim Bashem Bitchono. A person should place his trust in Hashem. Yes, for this also we need Bitachon. What Bitachon? Al Sheyagi Ehu La'olam Ha'elyon. about the fact that Hashem will, in fact, cause this person, will allow me to come and to reach that paradise of Olam Haba. The Al Yashlicheo Milfanav. And I have to trust in Hashem that Hashem will not toss me away, will not hurl me away from this experience. He won't cast me away from Olam Haba. I will also have that opportunity. I know it's probably in your mind, the Mishnah in Sanhedrin. Call Yisrael Yesh Lahem Chelek Olam Haba. Everybody, except for the rare exceptions, of course, has a portion in Olam Haba. And that's what it says in Mesechta Sanhedrin, Perek Chelek. And then he explains to us how that bitachon works. So now that we know what our destination is that a person should not have anxiety and apprehension and say, oh no, what if I will not get Olam Haba? No, we should not be worried about that. Now, we might say, well, really, what does that matter anyway so much that I'm going to get Olam Haba, that it should even be a source of concern? Ah, that's easy to answer. Because, putting it mildly, some experiences, some days in Olam Hazeh, perhaps some weeks, sometimes it's months or years or decades, hopefully not, are not always that smooth. And we begin to wonder, what am I doing here? And then we remember the Mesilas Yesharim tells us, yes, in the Mesilas Yesharim, that our matzav here is ultimately for Olam Haba. We're at a stopping point. This is what we call a layover, and our main destination is Olam Haba. So if that's the case, and we look at the whole picture, oh, if you look at everything together, then we realize that if life in this world is not so smooth, so then what's going on? What am I doing here? The answer is I'm only preparing here. If a person has a stopover in a certain city before his or her destination city and things aren't perfect, the person doesn't usually get very frustrated and downcast because the person says, this is just a stopover. This is not what's supposed to be my enjoyment, my vacation, my refreshment. No, I'm just stopping here. So therefore, if we have bitachon, in Olam Haba, that we will in fact be zochet to Olam Haba, so that turns the lens, puts everything in perspective, and it makes us realize that we shouldn't expect everything to be perfect. Sometimes when we have a stopover, we're running through the airport because the first flight was delayed. That's not comfortable. Sometimes it's just not so ideal where we're stopping over. I don't want to stop over there so much. Okay, but when I'm there, I'm going to do what I need to do. I'm going to make the best of that. Maybe I'll even have some sipuk. I will have some enjoyment, some gratification that's going to help me toward my destination. Of course, we know that the nimshal is that we're in this world as a stopover. So if we remember that Olam Haba is a destination, we're able to swallow and to digest and to metabolize our experiences, which are often not quite what we expected them to be. They're not quite smooth, comfortable, or painless. And hopefully they are as painless as possible so that we can serve Hashem with the Yishuv Das, but they're not always that way. So the Aruch HaSadikim tells us, so what's it like in Olam Haba? Asher bo ne'imos la'ein keitz, the afterlife. It's pleasure, it's enjoyment, to no end, it's eternal. There's no way to research it. There's no way to really quantify it. And the mouth is not able to tell, to explain, yofi ha'olam hahu, the beauty, the splendor of that world. And the eye is not able to see even, to behold the splendor, and the beauty, the majesty of the righteous. And in Mitzvah Shem we all, it says, V'amech kulam tzadikim, the Pasuk says, that it quotes in Perek Chelek in that Mishnah. V'ein sham lo achila v'lo shesia. There's no eating and drinking there. No need to. This is the Olam HaNashamos, after we leave this world. And again, the bitachon is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not reject me. Hashem will not turn me away. The imkain ma tanu geshem. Well, if there's no eating and drinking, what pleasure is there? Therefore, says the Aruch HaSadikim, you need to understand and know and comprehend ki kasher lo yeda ha'ov tanuk hadog, that just like a bird does not appreciate the pleasure, the enjoyment of a fish, hashat b'mayim, which swims in the water. Why? Because their existences, their functions are opposite from each other. Because the bird will die in the water, and the fish will die on dry land. Koch, same thing. The person who is in this world. And by the way, this is going to put everything in perspective. Why? It is not always so comfortable here. The soul is combined. It's mixed in. The lashon of tarubos in the body. Lo yuchal lodas tanuk haneshamos. Therefore, the person will not be able to appreciate and to know the pleasure, the enjoyment of souls. Spiritual enjoyment, spiritual gratification, hard to come by, the Archa Siddiqim says. Which could also explain that we have to remember not to have our expectations too high, that this world is going to be fully gratifying and satisfying. Ki ein lanu elo tanug haguf, because really, the main focus, or the enjoyment in this world, the main pleasure is that of the body, it's of the physical. But any pleasures and enjoyments from the lofty type, the otherworldly type, the heavenly type, lo nuchal lahasigam, we will not be able to attain them. We have a barrier, we have an impediment. It's called gashmias, it's the physical existence. It's our materialism. But lo nuchal lahakirasam, we will not really be able to recognize them, el achrei rova machshava, except after a lot of thought. When we think and reflect, we can kind of understand, we can comprehend what a spiritual delight is. And this is because we are in the world of the bodies. We are in the material world. The Al-Kanan, therefore, lo nakir ki'im tanugim ha'ovdim ba'poskim. The main pleasures that we can recognize are only those that are finite, that are lost. They end. But the pleasures of the soul came tamid b'li hefsek. They are constant, they're incessant, they are with no interruption. They're unending. But that's called infinity. Infinity is something that we can talk about, but not actually wrap our heads around because we are in this world. And between those pleasures, which are the spiritual ones, the intangible ones, and the pleasures that we have mainly in this world, which is the material ones, there is no attachment, there is no shittuf partnership, meaning there's real, no association between them. Below kurva b'shum inyan, there's no closeness. You cannot connect them. You cannot equate them. They are totally different types of pleasures. By the way, I say to myself, why are we learning about this in Bitachon? And we already said before, first of all, we have something to look forward to, if that helps, that after this life being not smooth often, but there's something that is eternal, and it is smooth, and it is otherworldly, and that's Olam Haba. And also, we shouldn't be frustrated and expect perfection in this world, and smoothness, no. My Rebbe in ninth grade, Rabbi Kassenstein, once said, no one ever told you it was going to be easy, but by the way, we're learning through Bitachon that we can adjust our attitude. Because we have ownership of what happens to us. We have the right, unalienable right, to react how we decide and train ourselves to act and to react and to pick ourselves up again each time. Umisha yizke lamala hahi, whoever will merit that wonderful privilege, that level, achrei moso, after his death, which is the next world, lo yehab elav hatanugim, will no longer love, will no longer enjoy or cherish the pleasures of this world. Kasher lo yehav ha-melech, just like a king, will not enjoy or plan lachlo tzme'olav, to remove from upon himself yikar tifarto, the glory, the preciousness of his glory, of his kingship, his majesty, his aristocracy, the lischok b'chutzos im ha-na'arim, to go play outside with the little boys. If there's a king, if there's a president sitting in an office or on a throne, he doesn't say, ooh, I want to go out and play tag. I want to go out and play ball. He throws off his robes and his suit. He puts on his play clothes and goes out and plays with the little kids. Let's go play baseball. Archa Siddiqim says, that is not usually done. It's the same thing. After we leave this world, then the neshama is an aristocrat. It's a noble. no longer desires to steep to the level of animalistic enjoyment and gratification. That's just explaining what it's like after we leave this world. Belief for Amim, and sometimes Yiyeh Shehamelech Katan Basharim. However, in the Mashal aspect, sometimes the king, he's young, and he's immature. V'sigbar Olav Shtus Hakitanim, and the silliness of little children will overpower him, and he'll say, "I am going to go out." V'yischakim Anaarim, he'll go out and have a great time with the youngsters. The Anyech Yikor Hamalchus. I don't think we can picture the president of the United States doing this. He will leave the preciousness, the majesty of kingship that he has. But this is machmas. This is because she'ein lo das lifchon, that he doesn't actually have the developed intellect. He's still with the child brain. So he can't distinguish bein shnei hadrachim, between the two different paths of life. So what does that have to do with us? That's a mashal. What's the nimshal? The Aruch HaTzadikim tells us, kasher anachnu magbirim tanug olam zeh al tanug olam haba. That's how we are in this world. We are like an immature aristocrat. Our soul, our neshama, is the noble, majestic, otherworldly, eternal, true, the genuine component of the human being. We are kings and queens. But on the other hand, we're in the world of the Na'arim, where immaturity when it comes to spiritual endeavors is what overpowers us, meaning that we don't prioritize Ruchnias, and that's why we go ahead and pursue activities that are antithetical to Torah, and they're not in our best interest when it comes to Avodas Hashem. That explains it, because we're in this world. That's why. So we're like that king who's immature, because we're among material influences. And that's what happens. Magbirim tanug olam zeh. We prioritize and allow to overpower us the pleasures of this world, al tanug olam haba, over the spiritual pleasures of the world to come. Machmas chesron datenu, because of our lack of our intellect and awareness and appreciation of what really is important. Umiyu takarasenu, and the lack of our recognizing olam hanashamas v'sanugo, the world of the soul and its pleasures. Of course, we already know that we're supposed to utilize the physical pleasures of this world in order to serve Hashem. Like the Maseiros Yesharim says, I'm sure you know, he says, what is a kadosh? The kadosh is the person who takes gashmias and eats the food and says a beautiful bracha, and the food elevates the person. And then, like the Pele Yoed says, the person benches the simcha. He's not abstaining. We're not looking for abstinence. We're looking for partaking of this world, but elevating it. When the person does not elevate it, doesn't think that it's l'shem shamayim, so then what happens is, then the person is like that king playing with the little boys outside, is not noticing that the priority and the purpose of this world is the ruchnias part of it. As we know this story, I'm sure you've heard this story many times before, and we'll say it again because it's one of my favorites. There was a person who was a chassid, and he had a friend who was a litvak, and if I'm saying the story incorrectly, it's the lesson is correct. Maybe the details are a little bit not correct. And he was a misnaget or a litvak, not chassidish at all, went together with chassidish, your friend, they went to the Rebbe's tish. So they're watching the tish. I was supposed to go to a tish many times in Muncie, maybe you also did. I used to see the Vizhnitzer and the Skolener tish in there. Went to the Rivnitzer, Zatzal, he didn't really have so much of a tish, the big scale like the other Rebbe's. Anyway, the Rebbe says a bracha, and he hands out the food, he gives out the shirayim. So the chassid is taking it all in, and the litvak, or the maybe misnaget, who's not so chassidish, says to him, you know, what's the difference between your Rebbe, really, and myself? We both say brachos, I even say brachos with kavana, and we both eat, we say a bracha achmona, what's the difference? So you know already. So the chassid said to him, listen, you, the way it is, and maybe me also, what do? We say a bracha in order to eat. But the Rebbe, he eats in order to say the bracha. So that's what the Aruch HaTzadikim is saying. We have to prioritize and try to remember what we're really doing here. We both can enjoy that food. All of us can. But we're supposed to try to do it l'shem shemayim as much as we can. We're not supposed to be fasting. We're not supposed to be abstaining, except from things that are prohibited and things that are needed as a safeguard for those things, for those activities. And then the Aruch HaTzaddikim says, are we really, like, is it off limits to us any spiritual pleasure in this world? No, of course not. We know that there are spiritual enjoyments and appreciations in this world of Olam Hazeh. And in this world, Tucha Lahakir, you will be able to recognize Kitzas a little bit, Mitanuge HaNashamas, from the pleasures of the souls, soulful enjoyment. Below Achilu Shasiyah, even without eating and drinking. How? How does a person recognize and appreciate something that's Rukhni and it's true gratification? It's absolute enjoyment. What is that? Kigon, for example, B'nei Adam HaMisnachmim B'Soneihem. Interesting example he gives us. People who take revenge from their enemies. We're not endorsing revenge, by the way. It says, Lo Sikom V'Lo Sitras B'nei Amecha. You're not allowed to take revenge. But when people do, then what happens is they have this otherworldly gratification. It's nothing physical at all. The Aruch HaTzaddikim says that's just an example. It's a definition of what's considered an intangible pleasure that's indescribable. It's not physical whatsoever. There's no material attached to it. Well, there's an example that your soul or your intellect is enjoying something, is being gratified. We could go in for example. Another one, hakavod, honor. When a person is respected or acknowledged, at the time that people honor others. Well, that feeling of kavod, when a person receives it, again, we're not supposed to be pursuing it. That's not what the topic is here. We're looking for examples of where there are intangible spiritual enjoyments in this world. And that's another example. The Aruch HaTzaddikim is saying there are samples. There are teasers in this world where you can feel spiritual enjoyment and satisfaction, gratification. What about when we learn a beautiful pasuk with Rishonim? What about when we learn a Gemara that makes all the sense that it makes? It's unmistakably the intellect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm connected with Hashem. That's an indescribable, unmatched type of pleasure. But that's all spiritual. Of course we have these in this world. But we are very pulled down all the time by our bodies that are tugging at us and causing us to go toward the material and the physical. What about when a person sees beautiful things? Oh, that's something that's so gratifying and enjoyable. That gives us true ecstasy, but that's not physical. These are just examples. They do exist. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the opportunity to have these examples, these samples. Or when a person sees this child who's very beloved to him, Shlo Ra Oso Tok Man Meruba, who hasn't seen him for a very long time. What about that feeling? Okish Shamea Basoros Tovos, or when a person hears wonderful tidings, good news, of a call Ela, and with all of these activities, Yesh, these experiences, Yesh Tanu Gadol, there's a great delight and pleasure. Below Achil Lushasir, without eating and drinking. Now comes the Kavachomer. How does this reinforce the authenticity of Olam Haba, Vim Zeb, Olam Hagufim? And if this is how it is in the world of the bodies, in the physical world, Shanachnu Rowin, that we see Shanishamos Nenos Mizet, that the souls get all types of gratification and enjoyment from this. Tavin, Tanu Kanashamos, from that you'll understand all the more so what the pleasure, what the delight of the souls will be, when the soul will go up to the heights, to the heavens of the heavens. The Sehenemi Ziv Ha'elyon, and the Neshama will feast and enjoy the radiance of Hashem, Umiziv Hashchina, the radiance of Hashem's presence. The Ein La Tanu Kahu Sipur V'lo Toar. There's no way to tell about, no way to describe that pleasure. As we said before, it's absolutely indescribable to human beings who are encased in the physical body. He said, Orevis, our neshama, our soul is mixed into the body. V'lo Nuchal L'damoso L'shum Tanug V'olam Hazeh. We're not able to compare it to any pleasure that's in this world. Any delight. Ela Kamosha Omar Hanavi. Rather, it's like the Navi said, the prophet, Shohaya Someya Benifla. He was in absolute wonderment about Al-Yakar Olam Haba, about the glory, the beauty, the splendor of the world to come. Tehillim Lamed Aleph, Chaf, Morav tuvacha asher tafanta direyecha. How abundant is your goodness which you've hidden away for those who fear you. This is the punchline right now. The al olam haba, and regarding the world to come, asher hu sof kol adam, which is the end of every single person, yasin, of course we know there were exceptions, there were non-people entering Gan Eden alive, but that doesn't happen now. Until Tchias HaMeisim, things might be different. They will be a little. Asher Husof, more than a little. Asher Husof, Kol Adam. But the way that it is now, it's the end of every single person. Regarding that entry into Olam Haba, that delight, that ecstasy, that paradise, Yosim Bashem Bitchono, the person should place his trust in Hashem, Al Sheyagiyehu, about the fact that he will cause him to reach La'olam Ha'elyon, that lofty upper world, the Al Yashlichehu Milfonav, and he will not cast them away from in front of him. That's what today's discussion is all about. After we talked about Olam Habab, we discussed the fact that we need to have bitachon, that we will in fact be zochet to that. But let's also try to experience some of Olam Haba in this world. We know that it says in the Gemara, Chachamim would give a bracha to each other. Olam Chatira Bechayecha. You should see your world in your lifetime. You should feel, you should experience, get the sensation of Olam Haba, of Gan Eden, even in this lifetime. And you might say, well, wait a minute, isn't that going to use it up? No, that won't use it up. We already learned about that. That was Habitachon Hashishi, where it said, I'll read it again, a couple weeks ago, Sheyivtach Be'elokim, that the person should trust in Hashem, Shalo Yachileo, that he will not feed him, he won't cause him to eat up, to consume. But Olam Hazeh, in this world, Chelo Karoi, Lo Olam Haba, the portion that's worthy to him, and that's coming to him in the world to come. So we already know that. That's also part of Bitachon. The Ein Bitachon Belo Masim Tovim. However, we have to do our Hishtadlis, our efforts, we have to do good deeds the best we can, and then we can have that Bitachon. Nobody asks for perfection, we have to try. But after the person labors and toils in Torah and mitzvot according to his ability that he's able, and also again after falling, getting up again, el the person will ascend, will climb to the levels of piety that are worthy for this matter. Is that the person should remove the love of this world from his heart. He should say, this is not the main existence of a person, this material world, this physical world. The yachnis b'makom ha'un should put in, insert in the mindset, into the brain, into the intellect, avasabori baruchu, the love of the Creator, blessed be He. The yimsor atzmo, and should hand himself over constantly, throw ourselves into the Avodas Hashem, meaning we should be besimcha, we should be with enthusiasm, we should get up in the morning and get moving the best we can, as soon as we can, with fervor and with passion. Yimsar atzmo, against all odds, the things that try to stop us, all those factors, they are what make us grow when we overcome them. Al kedushas Hashem baruch yisfara, for the sake of sanctifying Hashem's name. And if a person will do so, and he'll trust in the blessed Creator, that he'll be pious with him, he'll be kind to him, the way that Hashem was so kind and benevolent to all the prophets and the pious people and the righteous people. Ashra v'ashrei chelko. Happy is this person. How fortunate he is for having this bitachon, that he will be zocha. He or she will merit olam haba. V'ashrei chelko. Happy is the person's portion. Today we talked about the fact that we have bitachon, that after we live a very fulfilled life with Torah and mitzvot, eventually we go to the next world. Hashem will not forsake us. He will not turn us away. Everyone should have a beautiful Freilich and Purim, Emir Tashem. We are, in fact, continuing to learn on Purim at the same time, Emir Tashem. And that will be at 12:15, a week from today. And we will continue learning about the milos of Bitachon in general and how the Oruch HaSadikim summarizes, begins to summarize the great mila, the great quality, the advantage, the opportunity for growth that a person who has bitachon is always going to have. Freilich and Purim and a Freilich and Adar.